The following podcast was recorded at Guarulhos International Airport, so please forgive any background noises, and I hope you enjoy the content. Welcome to the podcast of Fruits of the Amazon, an ambitious project to reforest the degraded areas of the Brazilian Amazon with over 100,000 trees already planted. My name is Charles, and today my guest is Fruits of the Amazon collaborator Marcos de Freitas, visiting professor at Beijing's China Foreign Affairs University. Professor Marcos, welcome. What is your connection to Fruits of the Amazon?
Well, thank you very much, Charles, for the opportunity to speak. Our connection goes back to the time when we started talking about the Amazon and the rainforest, and you kindly presented to me this wonderful project of finding ways to reforest the Amazon, which is a concern, I think, not only for anyone who's interested in international relations and stuff like that, but also the importance of the Amazon for the sustainability of the environment. So when you presented that chance and that project to me, I was fascinated.
Okay. Well, I thank you for your engagement. I'm a little bit suspect because I'm always trying to get people engaged from all walks of life, but especially from the intellectual community. I noticed a report in today's BBC News, today being the 11th of November, that hurricanes are getting ever more and more strong due to global warming. Do you think this could be related to the destruction of tropical rainforests?
I think that everything has a lot to do with the deterioration of the environment. And I always like to think that basically the Earth is a condominium where we have human beings, we have animals around, and we all share this opportunity together. Now, why is that important for us to analyze this from this concept? Is that whatever we do to this condominium somehow affects it. And I don't like to say that men are going to be determinants of the future of the Earth, but I think that we have to preserve it so that we save it for the next generation. So when we talk about hurricanes and everything that's happening, it's also a result of man-made activities that somehow have deteriorated the environment. And if you think about sustainability and the long run, I think that we have an obligation to save the planet or at least preserve it for the next generations.
Okay. I'd like, as a Brazilian citizen as well as a global citizen, it would be interesting to hear your take on what the Brazilian perspective of the Amazon rainforest is compared to the global perspective, because there seems to be some sort of mismatch. People outside of Brazil think that the Brazilians don't care.
It is not true. Even though it is true that Brazilians do not know as much about as the Amazon as they should. As you know, Brazilians understand the importance of the Amazon. And I like to say that Brazilians should know a little bit more about the Amazon. We talk a lot about it. It's part of our territory. But I don't think that we know as much as we should about the region or even travel to it as much as we should. But there is a sense that we should preserve it. And we regard it also as a part of our national sovereignty. So whenever people start talking about the Amazon, there's always that feeling that somebody's going to come over and take it over from Brazil. And if you look into what Brazilians have done when it comes to the environment, there is a lot of deterioration. But on the other hand, we have a very clean energy matrix. We use hydropower more than anyone else, and we have been active participants in any environmental coalition or any environmental negotiations. So despite this, I think that Brazil does understand the importance of preserving the jungle, preserving the forest for the future. But of course, there's always economic interest behind all things, so we need to find ways of not only emphasizing the importance of preserving the jungle, but also compensating those who are affected so that there is no interest in deteriorating something that is a treasure for humanity.
I think that that's, you raised two very good points, if I may ask you. One is the fact, your comments on the fact that there are, you know, 25 million people who live in the Amazon, so you can't just wrap it up in cotton wool for the rest of the world's benefit. So you have to find sustainable, practical, economical uses without destroying it. And second is that your earlier point, Brazil actually has a law where any farmer is obliged to preserve at least 20%, and in some cases 50 or 80% of his land as native legal forestry reserve, so it can't be destroyed. Perhaps you'd comment on either of those.
No, what I think is that we have set some of the laws, but you know, whenever you set up the law and you make regulations like that, somehow you need to find a way so that people get compensated for it, because you may have a lot of, you know, oversight on things, but oversight will always fail if you are not able to rely on people to do that on their own. So I always say that the government structure in Brazil will never be enough to cover and ensure that every farmer in Brazil is complying with the regulations. So you need to have and the farmer needs to feel prompted on his own or her own to do it. So I think that's an important element, the economic aspect of, you know, rewarding good behavior. I think that's an essential element. And when you reward good behavior, that's how you somehow are going to protect the 25 million people that are somehow engaged or related or affected by the forest directly. So what I think and what I say always is that we need to find ways so that we promote in these people the sense of responsibility, and in a way also compensate them for this.
Okay, so I think it's very, very interesting. You use the word quite correctly, I think, compensate. You know, Brazil, compared to the Western world or Europe or America or even China, has far less financial resources or available financial resources. Do you think that the compensation should come from, and you mentioned the governments as well, should come from the private sector or the government sector? Or which actually is the most, is the easiest or the best way or most efficient way of making reforestation and preservation happen?
Well, I think you need to have a mix of all these entities towards saving the forest, because that's a common, it's a public good, right? I can define that, I would define the forest as a public good in which everyone has an interest in preserving it. Of course, the governments can play a role, and they should play a role, considering that governments are going to issue the regulations and all that, and governments can get money from taxation to do it. But what we have seen is that in many circumstances, the private sector does play a more intensive and organized and finds a way of doing things more effectively than government. So I think, you know, it is a mix. But if we could have the private sector, and by private sector I also mean foundations, organizations, NGOs, all these people involved in the process, I think we can make it more effective. In Brazil, we always say that if government runs the program, they're not going to do it effectively. They're always going to create issues because the bureaucracy is not as good as it should. So I think, you know, it's a mix of the private sector, foundations, projects like Fruits of the Amazon and all those can have an impact. And I'm saying that the more they participate, the less will be the need for oversight of government in these situations, and that will improve the whole thing as a project to save the rainforest.
Okay, so I mean, thank you, and I agree with that. What seems to me extraordinary is that planting trees, whether they're fruit trees or nut trees or trees for oil or whatever it is, planting trees is actually an economically sensible thing to do and produces a very good return for the investors and for society, the community, because you provide jobs and pay taxes and so on. Why is it that this hasn't happened before?
I think that perhaps we haven't had enough tools that like the ones we have right now, you know, social media, YouTube, Facebook, all of these issues that can allow us to raise awareness of things and how they're happening and what is going on, really help us build the case in a much better way than in the past. Remember that in the past we used to be informed about things by reading in the newspapers, right? And we would read the news about 3 or 4 days later of a fact that happened. So I think that social media and the way we're doing things now make everything much quicker, faster, more intensive. And I think that by this change, by having this perception, we can actually have much better results and be more effective in a quicker way. So if 20 years ago we're thinking about reforestation being a long-term project, now with the capability that we have to amass resources and all that, we can really expedite things.
Okay, I think it sort of comes down to my surprise when I see on a daily basis millions, if not tens of millions of people, particularly in Europe and America, demonstrating on climate change and related issues, you know, whether it's the Extinction Rebellion or whatever, why there seems to be such a gap between people who care and have money and actually things happening.
Well, perhaps because they don't have the tools, or the tools are not delivering enough. But also, it's important to emphasize that, you know, I like manifestations, but if they do not have effective results, that means just people, you know, getting, congregating together and trying to express their concern about an issue. But I learned a long time ago from, I don't know whether it's British or American saying, but you gotta put your money where your mouth is, right? And if you want to protect the environment, you need to know that there is a cost. So it's extremely wonderful to see all these concerns about climate change and all that. But I always think that it is important for us to start raising awareness and understanding that there is a cost. And that cost is essential to be taken into consideration when we think about the impact that we can have in the future of the planet.
Okay, I think we could go on for a long time, but you have a flight to catch. Is there any sort of final consideration you'd like to make?
Well, I'm flying out to China, and I'll be taking, it'll be like 25 hours by plane, so I'm going to pollute a lot of the environment, and we need to have more trees to compensate for this flight. So, but I'm really fascinated by the project, Charles, and I think that it has everything to be a very successful initiative. And, you know, the people of the world should understand that deterioration of the environment is something that is going to, it's a bill that we're going to have to pay, not in the long term, but in the short run. So I think that's a concern that we should always have and we need to address.
Thank you, Professor Marcus, for sharing your knowledge and understanding. And thank you all for listening. Your ideas, comments, and concerns are most welcome because you need the Amazon and the Amazon needs you. Please access our site, fruitsoftheamazon.com, and follow us on social media. Until next time, thank you.